dear friends, greetings this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. And today we begin a series in which over the next 3 weeks we'll be dealing with topics that for every one of us hit close to home. It's a series that touches not only on some of the most personal aspects of our lives, but also some of the most spiritual elements in our walk with God. Over the next 3 Sundays, we'll be dealing with 4 things. See if you can figure out what they are. The first is a commodity that is identical for all of us. No matter who we are, where we live, what we're doing, there's not one of us who has access to any more or less than anyone else. For all of us, it's all the same. The second is a commodity that for all of us is different. Some have more, some have less. But for all of us, for each of us, it's one that carries the same level of responsibility, regardless of what we have. The third is something that every one of us has, not in amounts more or less than anyone else, just different. What I have is not what you have. What you have is not the same as me. It's not a matter of more or less, but what I have and what you have is what you and I have been called to use. And how we use what we have and what we do with what we have is what counts. The fourth is something we all have access to in equal amounts. It's a gift every one of us has been given. No matter who we are, no one is better off than the next. It's all the same. But here's the deal. How we use this gift and what we do with this gift, the part it plays in our lives, will determine what we do with and how we use whether or not we're faithful with the first three. So there it is. That's where we're going. Did you figure it out? Some of you are nodding. You're not just, what Pastor Dan talking about? I don't know. In these next 3 weeks, we're dealing with 4 things. The first, something we all have in equal amounts. No matter who we are, it's all the same. It's our time. Our time. Every one of us, we all have the same amount. The second, something we all have in differing amounts. What each of us has is not the same as the next, but what we have, we all have the same level of responsibility. It's our money. Differing amounts, but we're all responsible. The third, something we all have, but what we each have is different from what the others have. But whatever we have is what we are called to use. It's our abilities. They're not the same, but we need to use them. And the fourth, the gift we're all given that determines how faithful or not we will be when it comes to the other three, it's the gift of prayer. The gift of prayer. No matter who we are, where we're at in our walk with God, it doesn't matter. If prayer is not covering everything we do, the decisions we make when it comes to how we use our time, our money, and our abilities, we'll make decisions. And we'll end up using whatever it is we have, but it will not end up in the same place. It'll not be the same. Prayer makes the difference. Prayer opens us up to what God wants to bring out. That's where we're going in these next weeks. We'll be spending 1 week on each of the 3 topics, our time, our money, and our abilities. And we'll be surrounding each week, each of the topics, with prayer. More specifically, with a challenge to each of you, to each of us, to spend time praying, taking a good and a hard look at how it is we're using what we've been giving, and then to spend time with God, asking God what he would want us to do in relation to those 3. Now, in case you're wondering, you're probably not, this isn't some random series that we've chosen. It's not happening because Pastor Judy and I ran out of things to say and said, well, let's just come up with something that's good, all right? No, we're doing it in preparation, just like with the series, for 4 things. 1, in preparation for our annual commitment Sundays coming up this year in 2 weeks, beginning in 2 weeks on November 16 and 23, when we'll each be given an opportunity to make worship and financial commitments to Christ and his church for the next year. There's going to be a mailing going out later this week that'll give more of that detail. 2, in preparation for making commitments of our abilities as we consider how we might serve Christ and his church, both here at the base and out there in the world. Beginning next Sunday in worship, we'll present with something that we want you to be considering. 3, in preparation as a congregation for 40 days of prayer. It's a time we're going to be setting aside as a congregation, beginning on Sunday, November 23rd of this year, and continuing until January 1st of the next year, when we're going to be seeking together God's will, not only for our own lives individually, but also for our life together as a congregation. You're going to hear more about that throughout this month. And four, we're doing this series on stewardship, and here's the bottom line. Because how we live as stewards of the things God has given to us ends up having a direct connection with and impact upon how faithful we are as disciples of Jesus. And that's the goal. Let's get into it. Today it's all about time. Time management. I said there are four things we're going to deal with these next weeks, a series designed to prepare us for four opportunities coming up. Today I want to give you four biblical principles for the proper use of our time. This is nothing new. It's very simple, but it can make a tremendous difference if you take it and apply it in your faith walk with Christ. Four things. Here's the first. Number one, if you don't manage your time, someone or something else will. If you don't manage your time, someone or something else will. Let's do a little exercise. I want you to do this with the person next to you. For each of us, it's all the same. It's no different. Turn to the person next to you and tell them that they have 24 hours each day. All right, go ahead and tell them. You have 24 hours each day. All right, now turn to them again and tell them they have 7 days in each week. You have 7 days in each week. Now, one more time. This time, tell them they have 52 weeks in each year. All right, go ahead. 52 weeks in each year. All right, we all get it. 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 52 weeks in a year. It's the same for all of us. The trouble is, with time, it's one of those things, you can't save it, you can only spend it. You can't put it in the bank and store it up for when you need it. You can only spend, all you can do is spend what you have when you have it. By the time this day is over, that's what will have happened. We will all have spent the 1,440 minutes we were given. Every one of us, no exceptions, the 86,400 seconds we had for this day will all be gone. We're all good at spending time. When this day is over, we will all have spent everything we had. The stewardship question is, what did you do with the time you had? What was accomplished in the time you spent? Now, I don't want to get into the detail here this morning of how each of us spends our time. What you do with yours is probably a lot different than what I do with mine. Our lives are different. We go in different directions. Some of us have kids. Others don't. Some of us are in school. Others are working. Full-time jobs, retired. It's not the same. It's different. So it naturally follows that the way we spend our time will be different as well. What's not different and what is the same is the fact that we all have the same amount. When it's over, it's over. And what you did or didn't do with the time you had is over as well. I don't want to get into the detail of what you're doing with your time. But I would challenge you this next week to take a good look at how you spend it. And in so doing, ask yourself if that's what God would have you to do. Now, I know that's not easy, because so much of what we do is because of the situation we are in. That was our first lesson. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. I don't want you to hear today at all that it's wrong as a mom and dad or a dad to spend time with your kids. It's not. Maybe what God wants you to hear is that you need to spend more. And it's certainly not wrong as a breadwinner in your family to get up and go to work. But is it dominating your life? Is it getting in the way of things that are more important? That's the question. You be the judge. It's not my call. You decide whether it fits what God wants and what matters or not. But don't fool yourself and just blow it off as if it doesn't matter. It does matter. Because once it's gone, it's gone. If you don't manage your time, someone or something else will. Number two, you cannot turn back the clock on time. You cannot turn back the clock on time. There are two things about time that are troubling. The one is that you can't save it, you can only spend it. Once it's gone, it's gone. The other is, it's that we have this idea that when it's that when it comes to time, that there will always be more. That there'll always be more. So what if I don't get to it today? There's always tomorrow. And what's the big deal if it doesn't happen tomorrow? There's always another tomorrow. And on it goes. And off, things that are important get put. There's a word for that. Do you know what they call it? Sure you do. It's called procrastination. Do you know what I call it? I call it closing our eyes, being foolish, pretending that something matters, that's important in our lives, that we really want it when it's not, and we really don't. If it matters, it matters, and we do it. If it doesn't matter, we don't do it. But to put it off when it matters, kicking it on down the road, when we know it's important, that's foolish. But it happens all the time. Now, I'm not standing up here today telling us anything you don't know. Nor am I saying that this is your problem and not mine. I'm as guilty as the rest. But what I am doing, and what I hope you will hear, is that you cannot turn back the clock on time. More than 28 years in ministry, I've heard more than my share of confessions, people looking back on their time and wishing they could have it back. Things they did, they wish they hadn't. Things they didn't do that they wish they had. It works both ways. In both cases, it comes from this idea that when it comes to the stewardship of time, we approach it like it's an endless commodity. Like there'll always be more. So we put off using the time we have in ways we should with this false notion, this misguided idea, this unrealistic concept that we can do everything we want and still have time for the rest. The reality is, it's simply not true. It's one of the devil's greatest deceptions that there will always be more time. It's not true. There's only so much. Jesus talked about it all the time. You only have what you have, and when it's gone, it's gone. Daylight saving time or not, you cannot turn back the clock on time. Number three, every time we say yes, we're also saying no. Every time we say yes, we're also saying no. I made the mistake this last week of filling my schedule with too many things. It was one of those weeks where there was just a lot going on. There were meetings, there were appointments, people called and wanted to talk, stopped in, and it was all good. It was all good. What happened was that every time someone asked for some of my time, I said yes. I said, sure, no problem, let's meet, let's get together, make time. The trouble was that as a result of all of the things that needed to happen, didn't happen. They were put off, and so in making time for this, I ended up with not enough time for that. I won't ask you to raise your hands if you ever had that happen to you. My guess is there wouldn't be enough hands in this room to raise. It happens. It happens to all of us. What needs to happen so that it doesn't happen is that we need to give ourselves permission to say no. I mean, it's okay to say no. Turn to the person next to you and say no. Go ahead, say it. I'll bet that felt good. For some of you, that's all you needed today. You can go home, all right? On your way out, don't forget your offering. All right. Never mind. That's next week. Forget I said it. All right. It's true, though. It's true, isn't it? Every time we say yes to something, at the same time we're saying no to something else. You can't have it go both ways. Now, again, I don't want to get into the detail. You need to figure it out. But I could give you a long list of things we end up saying yes to that finally end up getting in the way of things that are more important. We commit ourselves to Sunday morning sports, thinking we're doing our kids a favor. So we say yes. Meanwhile, we say no to coming to church. We go to the gym every day, Make time for that, but run out of time to read our Bibles or to pray. We work long hours and never tuck our kids into bed. We plan for retirement, looking forward to that time where we're going to have more time. Meanwhile, we're not focused on the time we have. Now, that's a very short list. And again, don't get the wrong idea. I'm as susceptible as the next. It's not just you. But if it hits and it hurts, and it starts feeling at all personal, then maybe there's a reason. And maybe it's time to take a step back and reassess how you spend your time. How about this? Here's an assignment. When you go home today, make a list of things that really matter in your life. Not what you're already doing, but if you were doing nothing, how would you fill your time? And start with the things that count. Your family, your faith, your relationship with God, and go from there. Start by saying yes to those things, to the things that are most important, before filling up all of your time with things that aren't. You can't have it both ways. We either schedule God in, or we schedule God out. Every time we say yes, we're also saying no. Number four, and this is where we'll close. If you don't take time to listen, you'll never be able to hear. If you don't take time to listen, you'll never be able to hear. That's where we started this morning. We said we're going to be talking about three things, about our time, our money, and our abilities. And then we said also that we're going to be challenging you, the fourth, to spend time praying in these next weeks, about how it is you're doing, about what God would want you to do with the things you've been given. Now, obviously, we've all developed habits and patterns and already committed ourselves in a variety of ways to using the time, the abilities, and the money that we have. I don't want you to ignore what you're already doing. Maybe what you're doing is exactly what God wants you to do. I'm not saying it's not. My challenge to you this morning and throughout these next weeks, regardless of where you're at in those areas of your life, is to commit yourself to praying each day, asking God if there's anything that He wants you to change. In fact, if nothing else comes from today's message, and all you hear is the challenge to pray each day, then it's all good. But don't make the mistake of thinking, even for a moment, that you can faithfully use your time, your abilities, and even your money without spending time in prayer. You can't. You won't. You need to make time. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gifts you've given, for the time we have in this life to live for you. We pray that you would help us to see where it is we need to change, to set priorities, to set boundaries, to give ourselves permission to say no to the things that finally don't matter, so that we can always, in every case, be ready to say yes to you. Guide us in these next weeks as we listen, in Jesus' name, amen.